In the name of Jesus, amen. Pentecost, in our modern day understanding, gets abused a lot. And I think because it gets so abused in different denominations, different places, especially here in America, I think people try to downplay it a little bit. Maybe we don't celebrate it like we should, or we don't think about it in the right way. And that's kind of sad, because Pentecost really does matter. I talked last week of why the Ascension matters. We have all these feasts in the church here, and they all kind of line up with one another. And we talked about the Ascension mattering because your body matters. And the fact that you have an advocate who is in his body in heaven matters. But today we want to talk about why Pentecost matters. Pentecost gets that bad rap because so many people, for one, attempt to turn Pentecost into some sort of big mission statement, that Pentecost is all about how we should go make disciples. Pentecost is some way that we should go out and how we should be about preaching the word. And so you see different books, especially in Christian bookstores, about how to be a Pentecost Christian, how to be on fire for Jesus, how to go share your faith, how to win people for Jesus. And of course, the problem with that, that's all law. Yeah, it's good to know how to do things. Yeah, absolutely. I think you should know how to share your faith with your neighbor. This is something that we should all learn and know how to do. But unfortunately, Pentecost then becomes this thing where modern-day preachers will try to beat people over the head that you're not making enough disciples for Jesus, and therefore we have to question your faith and whether you're doing the things the right way or any of this type of stuff. And it just becomes the complete opposite of what Pentecost is really about. It gets so bad that that people literally start to lose their faith because they don't see the Holy Spirit working in their lives as much. And the other reason that that has a bad strategy to look at Pentecost as your official mission strategy is because there's no silver bullet. I mean, we got to face this. This is becoming a problem. And so I hear this so much as Christians. It's the way we talk. We talk about it a lot here at St. John's. I hear it talked about by my other preacher friends around town. I hear it in other Christians. And it's like we think we have a magic bullet. That if we just do X, Y, and Z, the church will have to grow. Because we have done X, Y, and Z. And we know that these are the best things and that everybody loves it because I love it. And I really love it, so you should love it too. So this is going to make everybody be a Christian. This is a really dangerous strategy to go down. Because if there was truly a silver bullet that if every church implemented, everybody would be coming to church, I would write that book and I would retire. Dead serious. I mean, if there was that serious of a magic bullet, why don't we write the book, become a bestseller, and everybody converts to Christ, Christ comes again, and we're all good, right? And see, there's not really a magic bullet on how to do this church thing. And on the same token, a lot of times we start to think about it as us doing something. Us winning people for Christ. It's my work. But Jesus says in John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you. See, sometimes we don't understand exactly how the Holy Spirit works and why he works and when he works and all those things. All we have to do, though, is trust the Word of God. Other times, of course, Pentecost gets really misused, that especially this whole talking in tongues thing, as the Scriptures tell us in Acts 2. And it becomes this thing that if you are not speaking in a spirit word, spirit language, if you're not speaking in this kind of gibberish type language, well, then you must not have the second baptism of the Holy Spirit. You must not be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And thus, you're not really saved. You're not really a proper Christian in some way. And you get different flavors of that depending on where you go. And that's just a complete misunderstanding of Acts chapter 2. Because when the people start hearing the gospel, Peter starts preaching, when the apostles start talking, all these different tribes and peoples and languages hear them in their own mother tongue. So you have Egyptians, they have their own language. You have Sumerians, you have Jews, they have Hebrew. You have the Latins from Rome, you have Greek, you have Mesopotamians, and all these different groups, Parthians, right? You have all these different groups of people, and they're hearing the gospel in their mother tongue. You see, what really comes down to is why Pentecost matters for you and I is because the Word of God matters. And God knows that we are most comfortable in our mother tongue. I mean, I know I've learned a lot of languages over the years, and I can read several different languages, especially when I'm preparing from the scriptures for sermons and the like. But there is no language that I've learned or attempted to learn that I feel as comfortable with as I do in English. And let's be honest, sometimes I don't really feel all that comfortable with English. But God's not going to limit the power of His Word or His Holy Spirit anymore. He's going to allow that world to go out into every people and every tribe and every nation, every era. And He's comfortable with His Word being given out in every language. Why does Pentecost matter? Because the Word of God matters. It is the Word of God that has the power to convert. It is the Word of God that has the power to bring the Holy Spirit. It is the Word of God that is the power. And so, Pentecost matters. In order to understand Pentecost, though, you need to know that it is both an Old Testament and a New Testament holiday, or Holy Day. Now, holiday and Holy Day, those are really the same words. Holy Day and holiday are just kind of the same thing there. Holiday comes from Holy Day. And in the Old Testament, this was a kind of agrarian festival time. What happened was that right after the 10 plagues and Moses, and after the people of Israel had plundered the Egyptians and taken everything from them because God had given it all into their hands as they were leaving, they didn't even have to raise a sword. God just said, go ask your Egyptian neighbor and they'll give you things to leave. They're so decimated because of my power. Just go ask them and they'll give it to you. And so thus the people of Israel plunder the Egyptians. After the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea, so from that Passover all the way to their journey to Mount Sinai ends up being 50 days, 49 plus 1 after the command is given for the new feast. It's on that 50th day then, as the people of Israel approach Mount Sinai, God wants to speak to His people, and He speaks, and there's peals of thunder and lightning, the earth shakes, the people are scared out of their minds, and God speaks His Ten Commandments, the holy words of God. And the people say, God, never talk to us again or we're going to die. You're really powerful. Yeah, if you keep talking to us like that, we're not going to stand. So they make Moses the spokesperson. I bet Moses felt real good about that after seeing everybody scared to death. But they send Moses up Mount Sinai. Moses gets the rest of the commands of God and brings it down. So in other words, from the very beginning, Pentecost was about receiving God's word. Later on, as the Jews expanded into their territory, as the Jews were later conquered by the Babylonians, and eventually as they became more Greekified, I know I just made that word up, but as they become more Greek, they translate the Old Testament into Greek in what's called the Septuagint. You don't really need to know that to be a Christian, but that's just out there for you. And when they do that, they translate these 50 days as the Pentecost, 50 days. And what ends up becoming a tradition for them, especially during the Babylonian captivity, is for the 50 days that lead up to Pentecost, every day they would read the scriptures together. Great idea. Every day they would read the scriptures, and over the course of 50 days, they would read all the words of the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the five books of the Bible that Moses wrote. So they would do all that. They would get all the way through and they would tell the story of their people and everybody would hear the Word of God. So even well after Passover, it was connected to the Word of God. Now that was the tradition that Jesus would have been part of, because this happens by the time Jesus comes around. So when the disciples have seen Jesus on the 40th day after Passover, rise into heaven, ascend into heaven, and now Pentecost, 10 days later, is coming. All of a sudden, the Word of God comes in a new and powerful way. And yes, we have the great rush of wind, the Holy Spirit descending on the apostles in tongues of fire, and we see what the Word of God is going to do. And they open their mouths, and it's not just Hebrew. And it's not peals of lightning or peals of thunder and lightning. It's not a whole bunch of law and condemnation. Instead, it's a message that can be received and heard and strikes the people straight to their heart. I wish our Acts chapter 2 reading went a little further so we could actually hear the Pentecost sermon that Peter delivers, where he says all of that Old Testament stuff was about Jesus. The Jesus whom you put on the cross and you killed, that was risen by God, and now sits at the right hand of God, where he will come again in judgment. And the people are cut to their hearts because they know it's true. Here in the New Testament Pentecost, a new holy day has come, and now the word of God is heard by all. That word of God has power to cut to the hearts of the people. And they repent and ask Peter, "What should we do?" And Peter knows exactly what Jesus had said in that great commission. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And this promise is for you and your children. The word he uses for children there is babes in the arm. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. And then they gathered around the Word of God. They gathered around the preaching of the Word of God and prayers. And they say, the breaking of the bread, that is the Lord's Supper. That's what became the church. Pentecost matters because it's who we are. It's the reality we live in. It's gathering around the Word of God so that we can receive God's Word, that He can make us His disciples, that He can give us His Holy Spirit, that He can give us forgiveness, and He can give us His very life. Pentecost matters today, brothers and sisters in Christ, because the Word of God matters. And the Word of God matters because it is the only thing that has the ability to give us faith. St. Paul even says this. He says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's by the Word of God that we begin to receive faith. It's been in the Word of God, even in the Word of God and the waters poured out on us in holy baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit, and hearing and receiving is powerful. So that we also have good and right words to say to those who are in desperate need of that Word of God. Pentecost matters, and especially when we understand it rightly, that it's a lot less about what we do, and a lot more about what God does. How God has given Himself for us. So last week, as I said, we went through why the Ascension matters. Today we talked about why Pentecost matters. And next week, for Trinity Sunday, we're going to talk about why that Trinity matters. Especially in our day and age. In Jesus' name, amen.